I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hi, welcome to Amazing FBA. This is your host, Michael Veazey, speaking. And this podcast episode is brought to you by Reliable Income, led by Adam Hudson. Reliable Income is an Amazon community and course, and Adam Hudson is an Amazon seller. He's doing well over seven figures a year now, and also a very straightforward Australian. And in a sea of hypey Americans, that is quite a refreshing change. Adam will tell you it straight when it comes to how much money you need to private label, which is measured in the thousands of dollars these days, not the hundreds, and how long it takes to really get a private label product off the ground when you're working alongside the day job, which again is measured in months rather than weeks. Now, alongside that, Adam, however, is a very, very positive guy, and he has a lot to offer in terms of getting a really great positioning on Amazon for your products. So high quality products, selling at a really good price and keeping the competition at bay, which it's never been a smarter time to adopt that strategy than in 2018 when Me Too or Cheap are just going to be trashed by the Amazon crowd or have their price disappear into the floor overnight. So I really, really think his approach is sustainable. Hence, I think that Reliable Income is a very good word for his type of training. If you want to find out more about Adam, as I said, amazingfba.com/Adam. If you want to find out more about his training and or take the four-part video training course, which is free, go to amazingfba.com/reliable, R-E-L-I-A-B-L-E. Just for more transparency, I am an affiliate of that, so that will buy more than a coffee, as is the traditional about affiliate sales, but what it will do is help cover some of the costs of running the podcast, which hopefully benefits you, some of the software that I have to use to keep in touch with the guests, and my beloved and long-suffering editor Daniel, who is worth his weight in gold, but I have got to pay him, because even editors have to eat as well, so I've got to pay for blogging, podcast hosting, the rest of it. So that helps to cover some of my costs there, and I hope you'll check that out. Now on with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. Today we are addressing a very interesting thing about the new frontier in Europe, or at least it's new for a lot of Americans. For a lot of Brits, then they sell in the UK, but which blows my mind, they don't sell in Europe. So both sets of people, which are the majority of my listeners, need to hear this. This is John Cavendish from FBA Frontiers, who's going to tell us how to make sure we are maximizing the opportunity that Europe Amazon presents. So John, welcome to the show.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
So, John, I've got to just ask you this first question. So, obviously, you're a fellow Brit, and I remember when I was speaking to you before the show to go over what we're going to cover, I said, oh, so where are you? Assuming you're probably in London, and maybe we can meet for a coffee. And in fact, you're not in London, are you?
No. I actually haven't lived full time in the UK for about 2.5 years now. I've been living in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, which I know you wanted to see.
Yeah, so, yeah. Show us what it looks like.
Dark, listen, actually,
we'll have to just describe it for you.
Evening now. But you can see outside. You can see kind of like a classic view of Ho Chi Minh City with Patexco and all the big buildings across the fields.
Wow. So what takes you to Vietnam? Is that because you're sourcing there, or you just fancied living there, or what's that about?
Originally, I just fancied living here. I went to some entrepreneurship, like, location independent business conferences, and I was traveling around Asia and really loved Saigon, so I just settled down here. And since then, I've hired a few locals and a team, Filipino guys, and we've been growing a team in Saigon.
Wow, very, very cool. So the real digital nomad thing in real life, that's excellent stuff. So John, tell us a bit more. I mean, obviously that gives us a very good flavor of the sort of lifestyle that you can create for yourself if you have the urge to do so. So tell us a bit more about your background first. Personally, you sell on Amazon yourself?
Yes. So my real background actually was, I was an engineer, and I graduated from the UK and did the whole young professional thing, did a graduate training scheme for 2 years, and then moved to London and started contracting because I wasn't a very good engineer. I was the right engineer, but I wanted to earn more money, and I wanted more freedom to travel and do what I wanted to do. So from the extra money I was using contracting in December 2014, I sourced my first product, and I was live in February 2015. And just like a lot of your listeners, I was just selling on the UK. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was kind of just pushing. I thought I'd roll out some more products, and it went okay. I was maybe by the end of the year doing like 20 to 30 units a day, maybe 40, but you know, nothing big. And then in the start of 2016, I got to Saigon, started hiring my team and started expanding into Europe. And that's when everything just grew. Like Europe is such, so much of like a untainted market, or it was, well, it still is from 2 years ago. And products just got traction so much more quickly. And basically the business doubled every month and doing like, you know, 20K to 40K to 60 to 80 to 100 to 120. And it just kept growing and growing and growing. And so from there, we've just scaled up and up and up.
Interesting. So the two main things I'm taking from this, which I think we might explore, well, certainly would explore the whole Europe opportunity. But the first thing is that Europe, is it, you know, an uncharted land where you can go and grab yourself a land stake like the American West in the mid 19th century? And the other thing is that the irony is you started growing in Europe as a business when you personally went out of Europe and outsourced to some relatively low wage economies. So two very interesting hints we'll explore. So John, first thing to say, let's deal up front with this question, because it's one that gets banded around a lot, the forums and FBA groups and Facebook. Is Europe really still an opportunity relative to the US now? And if so, is that split between the UK and Germany, are they different, or is it across the board?
I mean, I always try to think of Europe when I explain to Americans as kind of like different states in America. So although everything is a separate country, because of the, you know, United European Economic State, you can sell between them just as you would sell between the states in America, and all the laws are final, you know, are pretty much, you know, pretty much there. Whereas in the States, nobody's got a clue about sales tax at the moment. In Europe, everyone kind of understands what needs to happen. It's almost around 20%, you know, 20 in the UK, 19 in Germany, 21 in France. Like, it got varies up and down a bit, and it's very easy to take care of because you just hire somebody to do it for you. So yeah, I mean, there's the good thing about Europe is that there's still like open products there, which in America would have been the things people would have done in 2013, which would have been like garlic presses or silicon spatulas or all that stuff. Like, you could still compete in those items if you already wanted to. I did a case study for somebody earlier this year in June, and we looked at barbecue tools, and it was like an amazing market in Europe, which you would not want to go to in the States. But it was June as well, so the market was insane. Like, you could have 13 reviews, and they were doing like 30,000-40,000 euros a month in each marketplace. It was crazy.
Wow. So, and do you find that it's the same in UK and Germany, France, Italy, Spain, or is there a big difference between those markets in terms of which is the big opportunity for American sellers if they haven't yet started in the European space?
I mean, it doesn't matter where you started, really, but it's all about how your ASIN, sort of how that market reacts to your ASIN. So once you've found the keywords for each marketplace, which you can do with Google Translate, or actually just putting in your English, because most of the time, the top one for the local keyword will also rank in English. Just put in English, copy the what's the obvious keyword from the title and put it into the search. If you have, you know, good metrics on each one, like a good systematic ranking of BSR down the page, then you can launch your product and it might do well in any marketplace. So even if it's really competitive in Germany, you might start doing really well in France or in Italy. So that's why we always say to have your listing there, even if you're not pushing it, because especially for me, when I started launching in Europe, I didn't have any reviews and I started making 5 sales a day on one of my SKUs just because it was there. And you just need to be there for it to make sales.
Okay, so I guess you've got the inventory. So tell us a little bit more about how this works. And let's think from the American perspective, because quite a lot of the listeners are Americans or based in America, some in Canada, or certainly outside of Europe, some Australians as well. What's the starting point? Because a lot of people get a bit confused. I mean, should you just, if you're selling on Amazon.com or even Amazon Canada, should you just bring existing ASINs across? What do you need to do? Market research in the UK? What's the sort of process from sort of 1 to 10, if you like, a simple process?
1 to 10?
Well,
lot of
I
points.
Don't know. Yeah, I don't know how many you want to break it into.
So first, like the first thing that will take a couple of months is to get your VAT number, which is your sales tax information, which means you can actually import goods into the UK. So all you do for that is you go to a service. We've got one on our website. Just go to our website /VAT and do the start your registration for the VAT number. That can take a couple of months. And all that means is that you can get a number to put on your imported goods, whether it's from DHL from China or the sea or DHL from the state. It doesn't matter how you get it in, but you need this number before you can import. then start your research. So research is very similar to what you would do in the USA, but you have to think of each marketplace as almost like a separate USA marketplace or European marketplace. So if you already have ASINs, either in the UK or the USA, I would basically do your research in reverse. So get your main keywords, put them into the UK, put them into Germany, France, Spain, Italy, and then sort of rank them as an opportunity. So look at the top five sellers, look at number of reviews, feedback, if they're actually selling anything. Because, you know, sometimes your product will be killing it in a market you didn't understand why, or sometimes there'll be, you know, there's just no volume for, you know, certain products in certain marketplaces. So once you've done that, if you already have your stock in England, obviously just do all your translations and get live as soon as possible on every marketplace. If you're in the States, pick your like number one or number two SKU that you have already, and then get some of that stock into the States. Sorry, get some of that stock across into the UK. So it might, it probably won't be necessarily your best-selling SKU from the States, which is going to be your best-selling SKU in Europe. Because, say, your best-selling SKU in the States is something you've gone into because it's a niche market. Usually the niche markets don't have enough search volume in Europe, especially super niche stuff. Whereas in Europe, whatever was your sort of your secondary item, which you thought you could generate some sales on the side from, might be your number one item because it's a high-volume product.
Okay.
And then you just have to have stock in the UK. So you can just have store your inventory in the UK, and you can use Amazon's system to distribute to all these other marketplaces just through the internal system without having to do any shipment yourself.
Excellent. So tell us a bit. So first of all, let's deal with VAT a bit, because I know when I've tried to work with American sellers in the past, it's kind of blown their minds. So I do know that that's right at the top of the line of confusions for some people. So you need to register for VAT to import. So it's kind of an import tax and it's kind of a sales tax. Is that a fair summary? And what do you need to do about the other countries? Do you need to start doing registrations in different countries in different languages and employ lawyers? How does that all work?
Okay, so the UK government sees importing goods as a sale. So like you're selling them from, say, your Chinese manufacturer to you. It's like when you're buying them. So the easiest example would be, say, you're buying for £10 or $10 in dollars, and you're selling for $100. So if you import, you buy it for $10, you import it, the government wants 20% of that. So they want an extra $2 for every item you import, which you have to pay to them. But this is reclaimable against your final sale. So once you sell it for £100, say it's 120, which makes it easier, you add that 20 on when you sell it, or you actually include it in your sales price, but it doesn't matter either way. You owe the government 20 then from every time you sell an item, because it's up to you to pay the government once you've sold. They don't collect it for you. It's nothing like the US where Amazon will collect the sales tax. You can then minus that two you paid on import, and you pay them 18 overall. So it's relatively simple when you get your head around it, but you'll have a VAT agent to do all this. So you just need to find an agent. We've got a good deal on our website, obviously, but you find any agent you want. They'll do the paperwork for you. And the best thing about doing England is that it's only once every 3 months. So you import all your stuff, and everything you've done in that 3 months just gets added up on imports, added up on sales, and you don't pay the government anything until the end of those 3 months. And then you've actually got 5 weeks to pay it. So it's quite nice and relaxed. You're not rushed on the numbers. It's not like Germany where you have 9 days from the end of the month and it's 12 times a year, which gets to be a real pain. That's part one of your question. Part two was about when to register for the rest of Europe. So there's five more marketplaces. So Amazon has this thing now called Pan-European FBA. And as soon as you start selling in the UK, they'll start spamming you with emails saying register for Pan-European because this is the future, and they're going to make you do it in a couple of years, I think. So Pan-European basically means that they can freely move boxes, like bulk boxes of your inventory between the marketplaces. So they can move it between all the five main marketplaces, which is France, Italy, Spain, Germany, and the UK. But they can also keep your inventory in Poland and the Czech Republic. And because you're moving stuff across the border, it means you need VAT numbers anywhere Amazon can keep your inventory. So you need 7 VAT numbers. So for UK, France, Spain, Italy, Germany, Poland, Czech Republic. It sounds complicated, but all you need is a VAT agent to do this. So negotiate hard, find an agent, and then keep pushing them on price because they know it's complicated and they'll try and charge you more. Or come through us and we can help you with pricing. And that can vary wildly depending on where your company is based. But it's because when you're shipping from the UK to another country, Amazon's going to charge you maybe an extra euro per item. It actually adds up quite quickly that it's cheaper to do pan-European once you're shipping more than about 400 items a month from the UK to one of these other countries. So, we go through all that, but that's the basic overview.
Brilliant. Thank you. Well, that's a very clarifying way of putting it. I think you're better at simplifying this for Americans than I am. I suppose we're kind of used to living with VAT in the UK, and if it's new, you've got to get used to putting it across. by the way, forgive me while I cough. It's the thought of VAT, probably. But the British taxman breathing down our neck. But can you give us that link that you're mentioning? You have a very good VAT agent, that you a tame VAT agent.
Sure. Yeah. If you go to fbafrontiers.com/VAT for the VAT agent. And also, if you already have an item, you can go to fbafrontiers.com/calculator. And we've got a VAT calculator, so you can work out exactly how much VAT you're going to pay per sale based on a sale price. So you can't just take your USA price and just add the VAT and charge that. It has to be a competitive price for Europe. So reverse engineer the pricing to what you can sell it at and see whether you've got margin. If you can sell it, if you're sourcing from the same source.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, that's another very useful resource. So thank you for that. So just coming back to the sort of beginning person who's not necessarily doing things at a big scale yet, do you need to, can you do this as a sole trader or an individual business person in America, or do you have to be, do you have to have an LLC, or do you have to start, you know, getting a UK limited company or anything complicated? What's the sort of score on that side of things?
Okay, so as a European individual, you can be a sole trader, whether you're from the UK or any of the main European markets where they hold inventory. As a non-European, so an American or anywhere else in the world, it all depends where you live. So if you're in the States, you might want to use if you want to sell in the States, you might want to use an American company and also register for VAT in the UK with that company, because you can get a VAT number with pretty much any country in the world as long as it's a legitimate country that, you know, HMRC, the UK's revenue people, which is same as the IRS, recognizes. So you'd be okay with America, Hong Kong, anywhere in Europe, maybe not the Seychelles or Bermuda or one of the complete tax haven countries, although I haven't actually tried that yet, so I'll let you know if that works. It all depends on your tax situation, really. So if you're an American, I'd have a brief discussion with your accountant what they think is best, especially with these new Trump tax reforms about getting your profits back into the USA with tax cuts and all this kind of stuff.
I think we're about to get into the territory where, as you say, accountants should go and the rest of us should fear to tread. So yeah, you're right. I think that's a conversation for your accountant, but thank you. That clarifies that really. So basically, you know, any form of company from anywhere in the world that's in a normal country that isn't a tax haven should have no big issues getting a VAT number in the UK and then starting in the UK. So let's move on now to the whole area of the different marketplaces within Europe and how that splits up. So first question for you is, and I'm going to come back to basically perspective of a UK-based entrepreneur, but it's basically once you're in here, and I say here because I am in London in the UK, London, England, as they say in America, on Alabama or wherever else it is. Always tickles me. But so if you're in the UK, whether an American who's imported here or you're starting off here as a Brit, is it, first of all, worth actually putting products in all of the different marketplaces? Is the demand in places like Spain, Italy, actually worth having the products out there? That's my first question.
So in terms of listing, it's definitely worth having your product out there, because as I said, sometimes products just get traction. So as soon as you have stock in the UK, you should be creating your listings in every marketplace. In terms of having stock there, if you're just starting out, definitely not. You should be holding all your inventory in the UK because it's the cheapest route to get started. And you don't want to, you know, be doing pan-European before you've proved all your sales in every marketplace. That being said, you do want to start doing this pan-European registration pretty quickly once you've proved that you've got sales in every marketplace, because it will save you some money in the long term. So yeah, as soon as you've got your VAT number and you know which ASINs you've got and you've got your listing written, get it translated. Then once you're live in the UK, you turn on some settings in the FBA settings, FBA export, you turn all that on. you go into Germany, you create your listing, you get it to pull from the UK, and that's it. Just upload your German listing. So the listing has to be in German, but Seller Central is in English. And it's all controlled from the little drop-down menu at the top of your UK Seller Central account, where in the States you'd have America, Canada, Mexico. There you have the five European marketplaces.
Yep, and I can attest to having, you know, been doing that for whatever, 2.5 years. And ironically, I launched in the US first, even though I'm a Brit, because of course I was following said, do this first. But yeah, the European marketplace is pretty easy to move between them, and you can set everything in English. It's not that intimidating, really. So tell me a bit more about this then. So the first thing is, Amazon will do automatic translations for you, right? Is it a good plan to just kind of let Amazon do all of that for you and just be incredibly lazy? Is that just kind of, you know, low overhead, low cost, but you know, the weighing up the upside of it? Is that a sort of launch strategy? And then if it takes off, you can put more effort and money in?
Not that we found, to be honest. We would always go for professional translations because they're not particularly long listings. So it's not a huge expense to translate. You've probably, unless you're whether you're a huge seller, you should have loads of money to do this anyway. But you've probably only got a few ASINs you want to start with, so it's not going to be a huge upfront expense. And people don't want to buy stuff which is written really poorly. It reflects super badly on your product. They think it's going to be a rubbish product. It's not going to be optimized. It's basically like running it through Google Translate and then back into English again. And it just looks terrible.
Yeah, and I think if you want to get a flavor of that, if you're an American seller, you can just look on Amazon at all the Chinglish without being sort of racist, but there's a lot of English that is very clearly sort of Chinese inflation and flavor, and you, after a while, you can learn to spot it. There's some product with a slightly odd name that says super happy time, have happy bath time, or whatever it is, and it sounds odd, and it just sounds like some guy at a local bazaar somewhere that you'd buy a very cheap product and you'd look at it on the way home and throw it away. So I totally agree with that language side. And I dare say also that Amazon's version of German is much worse than that as well. They can do some gobbledygook stuff to the listing. So I would 100% agree with you on that. So I know we're going to deal with that in our next episode, and we're going to focus on the exact, you know, the language side of things, because I know you guys offer that as a specialist side of things. So when it comes to keyword research in the different marketplaces, do they vary a lot from each other? And do we need to do individual market research in, say, Germany and France and Spain for each product? And if so, how do we overcome those obvious language barriers? Let's assume that the person doing it only speaks English.
Okay, so if you already sell in the States, then your keyword research would be very similar it'll be the same for the UK. Except that I would also run some reverse ASIN searches on something like Keyword Inspector, just to make sure you're not missing any obvious translations like, you know, diaper to nappy, dummy to pacifier, band-aid to plaster, rubber to whatever else they call a rubber, or any of those type of funny translations, which you'd very definitely lose some sales for in the UK. Then in Germany and all of the other markets, all of the tools pretty much work the same as they would in the States. So you can use the same tools like Keyword Inspector, ASN Inspector, Merchant Words, and they all work throughout Europe. Also Google Trends or any other type of keyword research you were doing, you can use them for all the marketplaces and obviously make sure that they're in the listing in the back end. But then for PPC, just do the same strategy you would for the rest of Europe and America. So to be honest, in a lot of the European markets, especially France and Italy, you could just run general campaigns and they would like broad campaigns, and they'd probably do just as well because they're so non-competitive and you're getting such cheap clicks. But we've got it all set up at the moment properly as you would in the UK with staggered bids on exact phrase and broad and, you know, 200 keywords and as it should be.
Okay.
Although so they haven't really been that much better than a broad match campaign.
Yeah, I was going to say, like the theory of sort of, if anyone comes from a Google background with their AdWords, that the precision of that is not matched by Amazon. It's odd how I find that my broad match campaigns are often not only make more sales, but more profitable than my exact match campaigns, which pains me intellectually, but it makes money. So, but let's come back to the simple question around the language there. How do we overcome that barrier? Because obviously a reverse ASIN search, you just find the keywords for me, a Keyword Inspector, but how do we kind of start that off?
Well, you do the same as you would when you're doing your research for whether it's a good product. So once you've found the local keyword and you found the product, like the best-selling product for your keywords, you take that ASIN in that marketplace And then you go to the software and you just do a reverse ASIN search on that ASIN in that marketplace.
Okay. So you sort of get ASINs that look promising before you even sort of get launched. I suppose what I'm assuming is if you wanted to launch a new product in Europe, then you don't have an existing ASIN or existing product.
Obviously, you're stealing your competitors' keywords. Obviously, you're stealing your competitors' keywords. Or you just give it to a service like ours, and we'll do the keyword research for you based on similar products. But all we're doing is reverse, is a mixture between Google Trends and reverse engineering the bestseller in your category's keywords. Because you want to be beating them on the highest volume keyword.
Yep, that sounds like music to our ears. Excellent.